to the church here at Grace Point, the church that God has called you to be a part of. If you're all in, you must be prepared to sacrifice sometimes your personal preferences and sacrifice some of the things that you've held on to and said, you know, that's the church. No, God is saying maybe it's something different. Maybe moving forward, God is doing a different thing. And we struggle with that. I struggle with that. But we have to lay aside our preference so that the glory of God is manifest, is made known from this place. It's all about Him. As I said in the beginning of this message, you know, comfort is one of the greatest dangers that we face in the church. Comfort is one of the greatest dangers. And unity requires us to step out of our comfort zone. Unity requires us to take a step of faith sometimes, to step out of our comfort zone and even to trust someone that we don't really know that well. Because ultimately we're trusting the head of the church, and that's Jesus Christ. Moving on to the second point of the message, opposition to the church. In verse 28, Paul says, "And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God." This is one of those comforts that we struggle with in the Western church. I think we have this false assumption, and maybe it's because of the history of this great nation, that the church is there to be respected. The church is respected by the community. The church is liked. And if you go to church, you'll be respected. If you proclaim to be a Christian, you'll be honored and respected in the public square. I don't know if you've been living under a rock for the last 20 years, but that's not the case in our society right now. That's not the case in the world that we're living in. You are going to receive opposition. And Jesus said that was the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it will be. You will receive opposition in this world because the kingdom of this world is the kingdom of darkness. So don't be surprised when you encounter opposition. Jesus himself in Matthew 24, when he is speaking about the signs of the end of the age, he says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Does this mean, though, that the church needs to run into the corner and cower in fear and trembling and say, "I got to stay away from the world because they're going to hate me and persecute me"? No, on the contrary. We need to be on the offensive in this world because Jesus Christ is coming back again one day, and there are lost people that need to hear the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. The struggle is an absolute necessity as we move forward, but if we're going to shrink back into comfort, we're going to miss out on what God's calling us to do and God's calling us to be in this day and age. As we stand firm and as we stand courageously on the convictions of the gospel message, we're going to receive opposition, but other people are going to stand and they're going to look at us and they'll be convicted of their own lostness. The Bible says that they'll be convicted as the Holy Spirit points to Jesus through our lives. They may be enraged. It'll anger them. But take courage because Jesus has overcome the world, as he said. Your courage, as Paul says in verse 28, is a clear sign of their destruction but of your salvation. So don't be surprised if you encounter opposition in this world. Next week, as I said, we're going to take a pause a little bit from the book of Philippians. But next week is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And we're going to focus on our brothers and sisters. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ across the globe that are being persecuted. Those that are being martyred every day because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they stand up and say, "I will be a follower of Jesus." We're going to focus on that next week. We're going to pray. We're going to spend a lot of time praying for them next week. But that's the reality of the world that we live in. It's the reality of the world. We sometimes live in a sheltered environment and don't understand that this is the greatest age of persecution the church has ever known. And it's not surprising because I believe Jesus is coming soon. He is coming soon. Remember in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in prison. They were in Philippi in jail, and there was a tremendous earthquake. And the earth shook, the prison shook, the chains fell off. And the Philippian jailer was terrified because he woke up and he thought all the prisoners had fled and gone. And Paul shouted out, he was about to kill himself, and Paul shouted out, said, "Do not harm yourself, we're all here." And he was so surprised, he said, "What must I do to be saved? How can I be like you? Because you're not afraid." Why did Paul stay in prison? Why did Paul and Silas stay in prison and not run when the chains fell off and the doors flew open? Because they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid of what the world had for them. They weren't afraid to be persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. And as a result of them standing firm, a whole family came to know the Lord, and multiple other people came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My friends, don't always look for the way of comfort. Sometimes the way of suffering, the way of persecution, is the way that people are going to see Jesus Christ through your life. We don't have to be afraid, but to stand firm. And this brings us to the third point, the suffering of the church. Verse 29 and 30, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." The wording that Paul uses here can be a little confusing. It doesn't make sense to us. He says, it has been granted to you, not only to believe, but to suffer. Now, we all know that the gift of salvation is free. All we have to do is receive the gift of salvation and make Jesus Lord of our lives and submit ourselves to his authority over our lives. That's the free gift of salvation because of what Jesus did on the cross. But what Paul's saying here is, there's another gift. There's another gift that you get, and it's the gift of suffering. Did you sign up? Did you ever get a gift that you didn't want? This is what Paul's saying. Along with the gift of salvation, you get the gift of suffering. Well, that's hard. I don't remember ever hearing or seeing a televangelist on the TV saying, "Come sign up for some suffering. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you're going to suffer." I know if I did an altar call this morning and there were unsaved people here, "Come forward and receive Jesus and suffer," I don't think we'd have many people coming forward. But that's the reality of the Christian life. It's the expectation, because it's been granted to you the free gift of suffering, the blessing of suffering. Well, that's hard. How do we wrap our minds around that? Well, what is suffering? Let's talk about that firstly. What is suffering? Suffering is any time you lose something that's dear to you. Whether it's a loved one, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, your business, whether it's a relationship. Anything that you lose, that you've held on to, creates suffering in our lives. It creates discomfort. So Paul lost his freedom. It created suffering. Many of you have had health issues. It creates suffering. You didn't ask for that. Many of us suffer with different things. So how can suffering be a gift? How can it possibly be a gift? Well, here's the key. Suffering becomes a gift when the key is that seeing and treasuring Christ above all things is our goal in life. When seeing and treasuring Christ is the goal in our life above all things, suffering is a gift, because suffering draws us to Christ. Suffering brings us closer to Christ. He comes closer to us in our midst of our suffering. Many of you know that, can experience that, can testify to that. When you go through those dark days, Jesus is close. You feel his presence. You can experience and know he was with me in that time. Remember verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." That's how Paul could say suffering is a gift. Because it's all about Christ. It's all about treasuring Christ and making him known. Pain and suffering drives you closer to Christ. Do you treasure Christ above all things? So that even if he takes suffering and allows things to be taken away from your life, you treasure him more. You're drawn closer to him. David Platt said, "When we pursue Christ in a world of sin and suffering, then we will experience sin and suffering. And the more that suffering takes things away from our lives, the more we'll be drawn to Christ." That goes down to, do we really believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior? Is he really everything? When suffering draws us closer to him and we say, yes, suffering was a gift. And we're not going to shy away from it. We're not going to run from it. We're not going to run to comfort, but we're going to run to Christ as the gift that we have. Remember, Paul was writing this while in prison. He was suffering. He was suffering while in prison while writing this. He wasn't in a comfortable place, but he saw that through his suffering, the gospel was being presented to people that would never have heard it before. Remember, going back to the jailers or the guards in Rome that were chained to him, I'm sure they became followers of Jesus Christ because they heard him preaching the gospel all the time. So Paul says, I look forward. It's been a gift for me to suffer so that the name of Jesus is proclaimed. There's always a connection. There's always a connection between suffering and the gospel going forth. In churches, in countries, in areas where there's persecution, the church always thrives. Right now in China and in other places, there's increasing persecution, but the church is growing faster than ever before. How is that? Because there's a connection between suffering and making much of the name of Jesus. The world around you is watching. And when they see you going through suffering, let them see Jesus. If you profess to be a Christian and everything goes well in your life, you have a healthy bank account and your family is just perfect and everything is going smoothly, are people really going to see Jesus in your life? They're just going to see kind of an artificial life and say, that's good for them, but that's not the world I live in. But if they see you going through suffering and your life is a lens to magnify Christ, and they see that even in the midst of your suffering, you have peace, you have joy, and you proclaim the gospel, they'll say, there's a supernatural power there that I want. There's something there that I don't understand. How can they still be in joy and in peace in the midst of that suffering? It's because of the supernatural power of Jesus in your life. Job knew this. He was a man that lost everything. Job went through insurmountable pain and suffering. He lost everything, his family, his wealth. He lost so much, but yet, listen to what he said in the midst of his suffering. Job 19, verse 25 and 26. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Job knew that this life was temporal. Job knew that everything around him was temporal. It was fleeting. And just like Paul, both Job and Paul knew that my Redeemer lives, that Jesus Christ is real, and he's coming back one day, guaranteeing an eternal life with him because of the blood that he shed on the cross. I love reading that passage from Job because that points to Jesus. That points to our Redeemer. That points to the gospel message and so much more. So as we close, there's the three points I want you to remember. The unity of the church, the opposition to the church, and the suffering in the church. The unity, all three of these go against culture. They go against what we're told. They go against what's proclaimed on the television. They go against what we read. It's uncommon. It's unusual. But it's the kingdom of God. It's not the kingdom of this world. Unity is a good thing, but sometimes it requires us to sacrifice in order to attain unity. These nine folk that joined the church this morning, some of you don't know them. Well, unity requires you stepping out of your comfort zone and maybe going and greeting them, having lunch with them, getting to know them. Because I guarantee you, they have spiritual gifts that we as the body need. God has given them spiritual gifts that we need in order to move forward in the calling of God on this church and on our lives. So get to know them. Welcome them. Let's sacrifice in order to attain unity. And then the opposition to the church. The opposition to the church will only increase as we see the day approaching, as Jesus is coming soon. So don't be surprised by it, but it should draw us closer. And it should draw us to magnify Jesus, to make much of Jesus in our lives and in our church. And then suffering in our individual lives. Again, as we look back, the suffering in our lives, allow God to use your suffering to be a magnifying glass to make Jesus big so that people can see him through your life. This is not a nice, comfortable message. I know it's not an easy one, but it is something that is absolutely necessary, I believe, for where we are as a church, where this nation is right now, for the gospel message to be proclaimed. Philippians 1 verse 30, Paul says, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. It's ongoing. Paul didn't shy away from the conflict. He understood that as followers of Jesus Christ, we're in a battle. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a daily battle, a daily struggle. Sometimes it's a simple struggle of having to put down the remote control, turn the TV off, and open the Word of God and allow Him to speak to you. There are so many things fighting for our attention. But remember verse 18. In the midst of that, Paul writes, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Are we rejoicing that the name of Jesus is proclaimed? Are we truly rejoicing in the midst of our tribulation, in the midst of our struggle, that Jesus, his name is proclaimed? Listen to what the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Peter to write in 1 Peter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, so that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Rejoice, because Jesus' glory is going to be revealed. My friends, I've said this before, and Dan can testify to this. God doesn't waste suffering. He never wastes suffering. There's always a purpose to it. He will use your life to bring glory to his name. After all, our Savior went through unimaginable suffering. Our Savior went through unimaginable suffering. Why should we be any different in going through the life that he has called us to be his ambassadors, his witnesses in this world? Don't get me wrong. Not all suffering is of God. Not all suffering is the perfect plan of God. If I go and steal a car and I get thrown in jail, I'm going to suffer, but I'm suffering because of my own stupid decisions. Okay? What I'm talking about is the uncaused suffering, the unexpected suffering, the suffering that we call out to God and say, why? And it's okay to ask God why, but then you've got to be listening. Don't cry out to God and not wait for an answer. What I'm talking about is the suffering that when friends look at you and say, why are they going through that? But they're good people. Why are they suffering like that? Why are they going through that? That's the kind of suffering that should bring glory to Jesus Christ as you go through it. And again, it's not that you're meant to go through that on your own. You're not meant to go through this suffering on your own. This is the unity of the body of Christ. When we see one member of the church suffering, that's when we come around them. We don't shy away from them. But in our day and age of our individualism in our society, it takes us getting out of our comfort zones and reaching out to someone who's suffering and say, I'll cook you a meal. I'll come and visit you. How can I help you? How can I take care of you? That's where unity and suffering go hand in hand. So as the body of Christ, when one of our members suffer, let's step out of our comfort zone and let's reach out in unity and in love and care for each other. Some of you are suffering today. Some of you today are going through suffering and you're crying out, why? And maybe the people sitting next to you don't even know what you're going through. And you're saying, if only someone knew and reached out and helped me. I invite you today. We're going to have our prayer team on the sides after the service. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper, but after that, the prayer team will be up here. And I invite you to take advantage of that, to come and say, I am suffering. I'm struggling. I don't know how to handle the situation that I'm going through. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to magnify Jesus through the suffering that you're going through. So don't just leave this service. As we close, again, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper where we speak about the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through. We are reminded of his body that was broken for us, the pain that he went through, the blood that he shed for us to take away our sins. Jesus has done so much for us. Let's magnify him in our lives. As we close, would you stand with me in prayer? And as we're going to sing and then we'll go into the Lord's Supper, but don't forget the prayer team. I'd love for you to take advantage of this time to be ministered to. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to see suffering from your perspective. Lord, help us to trust you in all circumstances and live for your purposes. Please give us a desire for greater unity, Lord. Give us a desire, Lord, to move out of our comfort zones and care for one another. Lord, give us a desire to endure and to persevere and to strive so that Jesus is magnified in our lives and in our church. Grant us this, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.